There's a program in Wisconsin, I believe across the country, called Operation Military Kids. And Sue Curtis, who is a professor of 4-H Youth Development, Operation Military Kids Project Director, is with us today to talk about it. She's with the UW-Platteville and University of Wisconsin Extension. And Steve Horvath, also our guest, who is from Wisconsin Rapids, assistant professor and the Wood County 4-H Youth Development Agent. And he recently returned from a one-year deployment to Iraq with Naval Reserve. So we're really pleased to have them with us. They were here a while back, just as we were getting the program was getting underway, and just before it got underway, as a matter of fact. So we wanted to have them back and get an update on how things are going and answer your questions. And, you know, April's the month of the military child. It's been designated that, so it seemed like a really appropriate time to have them with us. If you have some questions or comments as we move along, I hope you'll join in. The number is 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890. And, of course, you can always email us at talk@wpr.org. Sue Curtis, welcome back.
Thanks for inviting us again.
Yeah, I appreciate it very much. Steve Horvath, thank you for coming back as well.
My pleasure, Larry.
We know how many children are affected here in Wisconsin? Roughly, we have any idea at all of how many children are affected by their parents, one or the other, leaving for Iraq or someplace else?
Well, one of the things that we talked to the audience about in October was the fact that there are a lot of kids out there that we don't know are in military families. We have a pretty good idea of the number of National Guardsmen there are in the state, which is 5,000 or 6,000. And then there are different reserve units, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine unit, reserve units. So all told, if you took all those families together, I would guess there's probably 8,000 to 10,000.
8,000 to 10,000. Boy. Mm-hmm. So that could mean a lot of children, Sue Curtis.
Definitely. And I think when we first started the program, we started officially October 1st, even though I think we've been working unofficially for the last couple of years. We've been amazed at the number of kids that have participated in our event. At the kickoff event in October, which is when we were here last promoting that event, we had over 150. Mm-hmm. And it's not uncommon at all for us to have 50, 60 kids at an event on a weekend. So great participation.
Let's back up a bit and sort of explain or give us the background on Operation Military Kids.
Well, it started, the whole military effort and the cooperation with the 4-H program nationally started first as a club effort on bases around the United States. Hmm. The whole idea that military kids, families who are in active duty, move around a lot. And the one thing that would be consistent would be a 4-H club on the base. So even if you went from Texas to Florida, even to Germany, there would be a 4-H club on that base to help the child get acclimated socially and to provide them with some opportunities to get involved. And so that's been ongoing for quite some time. 5 years ago, then, with the number of deployments of what we called suddenly military families, mm-hmm. reserves and the Guard, they expanded that effort to a program called Operation Military Kids. That program focuses on the children of families who live in civilian life for most of the time and then are activated during times when our country needs them. And then those kids become military kids as well. And so the Operation Military Kids effort has been going for 5 years. Officially for Wisconsin, we started October 1st. Mm-hmm. And again, it is a collaboration with the Wisconsin 4-H program.
Well, with the regular, as with the regular military here in Wisconsin, we have 4-H clubs all over the state, practically every community, I would think, or at least in hundreds and hundreds of communities across mm-hmm. the state. So it seems like a perfect spot to center something like this.
It is, and that's one of the efforts that we're making to get the opportunity out there and the awareness out there to our 4-H community clubs that this might be one more thing that they would have an interest in participating in. And if these 4-H youngsters aren't in military families themselves, it's an opportunity for them to help their peers who may be in military families.
Mm-hmm. It's also a collaboration with other partners, and we should mention that as well. The American Legion is a partner. The Boys and Girls Clubs of America are a partner. The National Guard, of course, and the military are partners, and our Department of Public Instruction mm-hmm. here in Wisconsin mm-hmm. is a partner as well. So it's a multifaceted approach to try to do our best job to serve the needs of these young people.
You didn't mention VFW. Is that a partner too?
Not a national partner, but certainly we're hoping to get them as a local partner.
Sure. All the veterans organizations have a place at the table, not at the national level perhaps, but certainly locally.
Let's talk a little bit about what happens with kids. I think that's important. And Steve, you know, you lived it. You took a one-year deployment. So my understanding is that there's kind of like three stages of deployment, and I would expect that it might have some impacts depending on the stage and so forth that are going through. Maybe you could explain that for us.
Sure, Larry. I'd be happy to. Again, as Sue mentioned, here in Wisconsin, the impact is more on reserve and National Guard families since we don't have an active duty military base. And those young people are not used to the whole deployment cycle because, by and large, their parents stay at home. And they're the weekend military person. And so when a deployment is announced, there are three typical stages that all the family goes through. The first stage is what's known as the pre-deployment stage, and that starts to occur right when the family member who's in the military is notified by his or her unit that there's going to be an activation. And typically this will last anywhere from 2 to 3 months to a half a year in advance. And one of the things that's really changed with the reserves and the National Guard is the length of time before an activation occurs that information is shared. At one time, it wasn't uncommon that a military member may have been given 48 or 72 hours to get ready to go. What the military is trying to do is give families plenty of time to get ready, so it's not uncommon. We knew 3 months in advance that we were going to be going, but that also brings with it a level of stress because
sure.
Now the clock starts ticking. And once kids realize that one of their parents is going to be absent, there's a whole series of emotions that they go through.
So that's that first stage, and then obviously then there's another stage. Well, then their actual deployment, I assume.
Sure. Well, to expand a little bit more on the pre-deployment phase, there are several different. There's actually a sort of an excitement that goes along with that. Believe it or not, kids share their information or that news with their friends and whatnot, and it doesn't really hit home to them that mom or dad or their primary caregiver is actually going to be gone. So it might be ironic, but there may be a little bit of excitement that goes along with that. But slowly the reality sinks in that mom or dad or the primary caregiver will be gone. And what's that going to be like? The parent, for their part, they're typically very busy getting all of their affairs in order. So it's a very busy time, and that leads right up to the moment when the parent leaves. And they're busy up until that moment. That was my experience.
Yeah. And I would, most people have a job that they've got to, you know, to make arrangements for and all the rest of it. How do you finance and everything else? I'm sure that there's financial implications for families as well that could have impact on children.
Sure, there is. That's one more example of something that the parent, the caregiver needs to be aware of. And one of the things that I shared in October that I learned the hard way before our deployment was that we were so busy, I totally overlooked the importance of letting my kids' school and teachers and the administrators know that I was going to be gone. And perhaps a part of me felt that they would just know. But in reality, when I came back and went to the school to visit and catch up with some of the teachers, they didn't know I was gone. Not in all cases, but several of the teachers didn't know I was gone. And that's really been a focus of our effort here in Wisconsin, is to increase the awareness, particularly among educators, that they may have a young person right in their classroom that is going through a deployment.
Yeah, because I would assume under, you know, they're stressed. Kids are stressed and could be acting out, could be all kinds of things. Their grades drop or that sort of thing could happen.
Oh, sure. That happened to my son. And that and he was just finishing 7th grade and going into 8th grade. And part of that was just going through the junior high school, middle school ages. But I know that part of it was also due to the fact that he's the oldest. He's got some younger sisters. But I think he felt a burden there that I was unaware of. And it did show.
Yeah. So there's that whole stage. And then let's go through the rest of it, too. Then, obviously, while you're gone, there are opportunities few opportunities, I suppose, to communicate, letters and emails and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. The second stage of the deployment cycle is called the deployment cycle, or the deployment phase, rather. And that's just what it says. It's when the member leaves for home up till the point when they get back. And they've actually broken it down more to just before the member comes back. There are some emotions that start to occur. But in general, the deployment phase is accompanied initially by actually a sense of relief on the part of the family because they've mm-hmm. done so much preparation and they're literally watching the clock. And once that time comes when the member's away, there is somewhat of a sigh of relief. And very shortly after that, then the family who is left behind begins to establish new routines. There are new chores that maybe have to be done that were done differently when the parent was there. The parent who's gone, of course, has a completely different routine. And the role that person filled while they were at home needs to be filled by the remaining family members. So there's a whole dynamic that starts to develop. And that then becomes a challenge or sets the stage for a challenging reunion once the family member returns home.
Yeah, and that, you know, I sometimes wonder if that has been overlooked a little bit in the past. Once you're home, you're home and everything's fine, but not necessarily so.
No, that's not the case. And that's one of the messages I've really tried to share when I've had the opportunity that once the family member does return home, which is the post-deployment phase of the deployment mm-hmm. cycle, and the parade is done and the welcome home is taken care of and the confetti swept up, as mm-hmm. I put it, that doesn't mean the problems go away. In fact, that's really the time when many of the issues that had been unresolved before the member left or developed while the member was gone, that's when they start to emerge.
Yeah.
But if you're outside of that situation, if you're a teacher in a classroom or if you're an employer, you're thinking that everything is fine because the family unit is back together, but it's a whole different dynamic that's occurring. Roles are being relearned. Problems that were not solved prior to are needing to be resolved, and sometimes they just aren't resolved, and the family does suffer consequences.
How long does it take, typically, in that third stage to sort of, I hate to say normal, but get everything back to more or less an even keel or normal, in quotes?
Well, from my experience, Larry, was that when we initially came home, I was just so happy to be back with my kids that I didn't care what they did. and that phase lasted for about 20 minutes. No, it was a little longer than that, several weeks. But I remember just sitting at the kitchen table just with a glow on my face because I was so happy that they were there or mm-hmm. that I was there with them. And it differs for everybody, but once that glow wears off, well, then you're back to reality. And for me, then it did take me several months to sort of get back in the routine of work, what it meant to be a father again. One of the stories that I share that people get a little bit of a chuckle out of, and it's just a simple little thing. But this is what we went through before I left. My routine or one of my chores in the household was to do the laundry, and it's just a simple little thing, but I've done it for years and mm-hmm. even before I was a father and continued to do it. I enjoyed doing it. Well, and during my absence, my wife taught the kids how to do their own laundry, and lo and behold, when I came back, what do you think was the first thing I did? I started doing the laundry. Well, it made me feel good because it gave me a sense of being back home. And it wasn't long, and my wife put a stop to that. She said, no, let the kids do their laundry. And I said, but I enjoyed it. No, let the kids do their laundry. They know how to do it. So that's an example of how a role changed while I was gone, and I had to adjust to that when I came back. I lost my job, if you will, doing the laundry. So,
oh, boy. Sue Curtis, professor of 4-H Youth Development, Operation Military Kids Project Director with UW-Platteville and University Extension, and Steve Horvath, who's just been talking with us here from Wisconsin Rapids, assistant professor and Wood County 4-H Youth Development agent, and recently returned from a one-year deployment to Iraq. We're talking about, of course, what it means for the kids, the children, when one parent or the other is deployed and has to leave. for military service. What are the effects and what are we doing about it? And we'll get more into what we're doing about it and how to help these youngsters as we move along here. Certainly, you can join in with your questions at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In the Madison area, you can reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890, or email us at talk@wpr.org. Give us a call or email. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking Operation Military Kids with our two guests, Sue Curtis and Steve Horvath. They were here last October when things were just getting underway in Wisconsin with this operation and giving us an update on how things are going, and really appreciate having them with us. Again, you can join us at 800-642-1234 in Madison at 263-1890 and email us at talk@wpr.org. And Vincent in Albuquerque, you are up. Hi, Vincent. Thank you for calling.
Hey, how's it going?
Great, thanks. What can we do for you?
Well, I wanted to address the issue of deployment on two different levels. First of all, I'm an ex-Navy, and I was single during my tour, both deployments. And going out and coming back was way different for me because when I came back, you know, I lived on the base. It was still a military routine for me. You know, of course, I had periods of leave that were planned, and so I was able to visit with family for short periods of time. But it was way different than my brother, who is married, has a few kids, and they talked about the stresses of the family routine being different from before they left and from when they came back. And there was a period of time when my wife would be the the listening post for Marissa, and she would entertain conversations like, we're having fights, this is happening, it takes a few months, you know, the authority in the household changed when he was gone, that changed, the routines, you know, of course, that's pretty much a given that those are going to change. And then again, the kids grow older, and, you know, like the laundry thing, they take on new responsibilities, new duties and stuff like that on their own. And plus, they have issues at school that they were going through. There was some grade lapses at one point because the kid was really missing the dad. And so as an uncle, being out of the military at this one particular time, I was able to step in and help out a little bit, you know, not just to go to the house and help with plumbing and stuff like that, but also to help counsel the kids, you know, and be, in a sense, a surrogate dad. And it kind of helped me being a Native American because we have that extended family thing. Mm-hmm. And so in that respect, I was able to step in and continue being that surrogate dad, that uncle figure and stuff like that. And that really made a difference. But the point in all this is that there was a big difference between myself being a single person deploying and coming back and all of those stresses and having to deal with that pretty much on my own and just with, you know, the buddies that I had and things, you know, the conversations that we would have and how we dealt with stuff, mm-hmm. how different that is from how my brother had to deal with stuff like that. And I was just wondering, I guess my general question is, do you guys have any statistics with those two views in mind?
I'm not sure that we have any statistics on that, but Steve, you have any comment or Sue?
Well, certainly one comment I would have is that the summary that you gave, I think, provides the basis for our Operation Military Kids program. We want to raise the awareness with everyone about what families go through, and so that neighbors, churches, community organizations, schools, everybody exactly can pitch in, because there is an impact on the family. And I was thinking on my way here today that, you know, there's the yellow ribbon effort to support troops. I think we need a pink and blue ribbon effort to remind people that there are families left behind that need support as well. And that should help lessen the impact on children when the parent is gone.
Yeah.
And I think that the caller's example, that what his brother's family went through, just sort of underscores the point we're trying to make, that all young people and all families really are going through the same sorts of emotions,
yeah.
and the ride is very similar. And as far as statistics, no, I don't have any statistics offhand, but I do know that the military in general has changed drastically in that there's a preponderance of married folks with children in the military, whereas at one time they were mostly single people.
Mostly single.
Yeah.
Interesting. Vincent, I thank you very much for calling. I've had so many callers online. I want to give some others a chance to join in here. So appreciate your comments. Thank you. Meg in Madison, it's your turn next. Hi, Meg.
Hi. Yes, I'm Lieutenant Colonel Meg Blankstein, and I am the Family Program Director for the National Guard here in Wisconsin, and I work with Sue and Steve in the Operation Military Kids.
Yes.
And I would just like to share a few other programs that we have going in the National Guard. They mentioned the number of National Guard service members that may possibly be leaving. However, the Wisconsin Guard has over 10,000 service members, so the number of youth that we have and children that are affected is just huge.
Yeah.
And so some of the things that we're doing, this last person on the phone had asked a question about what do we do in preparation for families that are deploying. And one of the things Sue mentioned was the yellow ribbon itself, but there is a yellow ribbon program that offers pre-mobilization, during mobilization, and post-deployment opportunities. And in those, we work with the families, we work with the service members before and after, but we continue to work with the youth throughout and offer special activities that are designed just for youth to help them deal with the different things that may be going on in their life. So one of the things that we do here in the Guard is we work with all the branches of service and are willing to go out there and help any branch of service, as well as OMK is, with the different events that we are doing and helping our youth adapt to things.
Well, I appreciate your call, Meg, and Sue, maybe you can add to that a little bit in terms of what Operation Military Kids is doing.
Well, we work, again, with all branches of service, and it's on a request basis. So as a unit is getting ready to deploy, they may ask us to come in and help with the pre-mobilization briefings to work with the kids. We have a Hero Packs program, which is on a request basis. We have backpacks that have all kinds of school supplies and other things that kids like and enjoy that is part of this program. And largely right now, a collaboration again with our school districts to try to get our school districts ready to provide an ongoing support network for kids to help them address the challenges that they may face during the time the parent is gone.
Yeah. How do people get involved in this, by the way?
Well, in many ways, we have a state committee, and then we have some subgroups, and anyone could become involved with us as a volunteer to assist with those events that we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And we're certainly always grateful to have people that would be willing to help us with the kids. And just a request that I have on my desk right now is for an event with over 200 kids. So I need lots of volunteers to assist with those kinds of events. Also, we need support for things to put in the hero packs. So community organizations that would like to make blankets or quilts or donate teddy bears or rulers or whatever they would like to give for us to put in the hero packs or help us pack the hero packs. It also takes a lot of effort. So there's many ways that an organization or volunteers could be involved.
How do they plug into that? Is there a website? Are there phone numbers? How do people... Or do you go through your local 4-H youth development agent? Or you know, how do we go about that?
All those ways are actually possible, Larry. They could contact their local extension office and just mention Operation Military Kids, and they can get connect us together. But we also have our website, which is on the UWEX, University of Wisconsin Extension website. And type in Operation Military Kids, and it'll take you there, I believe, right?
Sure. Any search engine that you use, if you put in Operation Military Kids, that'll take you to the national site, which if you click on our state, it'll lead you to Wisconsin information, or if you put Wisconsin Operation Military Kids, it will take you to our state website. So there are two websites where we have a presence.
Meg, I thank you very much for calling. I appreciate it a lot. And Gary in Footville is up next, so let's go there. Hi, Gary.
Hey.
Thanks for calling. What can we do for you?
I wanted to say hi to Steve. This is B.U.N. Keller, Steve.
Oh, we're in the same year. How you doing, Gary? What a pleasure to hear from you.
You betcha. Hey, excuse me. I always knew you'd do great things, man.
Well, thanks, Gary.
So there's somebody who served with you, Steve.
Yes, he did, and he's quite a guy. I've really appreciated getting to know Gary over the years, and I hope you're doing good, Gary.
Yep, I'm doing fine.
That's good.
They made me retire, you know, because I was 60 and too old to play in the dirt, so I didn't get to go over with Steve.
But you know what, Gary? You're not too old to participate in this Operation Military Kids business, and I hope you'll consider that.
Good point. Larry. Yeah, and Gary, you set the bar high for all of us. It's so high that most of us aren't able to get over it. Did you know that, Gary?
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And think about that. Now, what's the website again?
If you just use any of your search engines, just put in Operation Military Kids or Wisconsin Operation Military Kids will take you to the state page.
Or contact your local extension office, and the 4-H Youth Development Agent there is going to be more than happy to help out.
Correct.
On that. Thanks, Gary, for calling. Let's go to Kim next in Menominee Falls. Kim, hi.
Hi.
How can we help you?
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My husband was in the military for 14 years. He was deployed to Iraq. When he came back, we had the experience that it took a very long time. By my estimation, about twice as long as he was gone. He was gone about 7 months to adjust back into normal real life. For all of us, and now he just recently got out of the military, and it seems like we're going through it all again, trying to adjust back into civilian life. And I'm wondering if there are any resources to help support children who, quote-unquote, just got out of the military.
Oh. And, Sue, I got to believe that there'd be some help for those children as well. Or Steve, one of the other want to make a comment?
Well, as far as resources for children whose parents have just gotten out of the military when a member leaves the military, there are family sorts of resources available to that family member. Mm-hmm. So I can't really say any specifically offhand, but I would suggest that the caller check with her husband's unit to find some specific resources there. And as far as dealing with children's emotional impact and things like that, well, those are things that we could provide
Definitely.
For them through Operation Military Kids.
Yeah.
And there's a part of our program called Speak Out for Military Kids, and that would still be an appropriate role even for a child who's no longer a military, involved in a military situation but has some experience there, because part of that opportunity is to express their feelings and talk about some of the things that they experienced while they were actually in the three stages of deployment, and certainly that would be appropriate that they could have a chance to share those with other kids who've walked in their shoes.
And I hope we're answering the caller's question. Is it that this resource is specific to working with children whose parent has just left the military? Is that the question, caller?
Yes, because when you're in the military, I have three children, and there are a lot of resources for you, you know, especially when your husband is deployed, you know, the entire world, the entire country rushes to your side. It's a wonderful thing. That's not, you know, what I'm saying, but when you get out of the military, it's almost like you're standing there and have no idea where to turn or what to go, because it seems like all the resources are for the military, you know,
right,
for the children of the military or for, you know, people in the military, and I almost am like, no, you know, now my kids are having such a hard time with the transition to the civilian world. They've never had any experience with the civilian world. We've lived on base for their whole lives. And it's such a different transition, especially to being around children who don't have, you know, share their experiences. Now we're at home in Wisconsin. We were in Virginia for most of our career. Trying to get with people who can, you know, understand their situation would be helpful.
Well, if you could contact either Sue or I, that sounds like it would be we could probably help you out having a little longer conversation off the air. If you could contact one of us, we'll see what we can do for you.
Yeah, and how would Kim contact you?
Well, my number at the extension office in Wood County is area code 715-421-8439. Again, 715-421-8439. That's my office number at extension in Wood County, and please feel free to give me a call, caller, and I'll see what I can do, and Sue and I will have a chat about it as well.
Okay, that would be fantastic. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And you can join in, too, by the way. We have a couple of open lines we can get you on pretty fast at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. John in Milwaukee's up next. Hi, John. Thanks for calling.
How's it going?
Great.
Earlier today on WPR, there was a discussion about the perceived support and the actual support for people in the military, especially today, how it seems to be not too popular, but not a lot of activity as to anti-support, like in comparison to Vietnam and such, where people were actively campaigning against the efforts of military and such. What are you guys doing, your callers' organizations, or your panel's organizations, to monitor and, of course, to combat negative support or anti-support for the military?
Yeah, I understand. Sue, how about a comment from you?
Well, one of the things that the kids do with other kids is they talk about their fears and things they're experiencing, and it does have an impact on the kids when they hear a lot of negative comments about the war and they have a parent serving. And they discuss that quite a bit. And I think probably one of the most positive things we do for the kids is to provide them an opportunity to talk about that, because it is a scary situation to be in, and it's very hard to walk in their shoes when they feel like their parent is at risk and every day they're being barraged with all kinds of negative things about the war. So a lot of it is an opportunity to talk about that, how to handle that in a positive manner, and how to deal with that. So that is a component of the program that we address with the kids.
Mm-hmm. And it all comes back to increasing the awareness that there are young people out there who are being impacted by a deployment of a family member. And if those folks who are actively involved in that young person's lives aren't aware that they're going through that, if it's a teacher or a coach or whomever it may be, if they're not aware that that young person's going through that, they're not going to be able to help them in any way. And just having that awareness, I think, goes very far in lending a hand to that young person.
Mm-hmm. And at the same time, Operation Military Kids is not a pro-military, anti-military. You play a very neutral role in all this, if I'm not mistaken, Sue.
That's correct. This is to focus on the needs of the child, and we try to make sure that is the focus of the program, and that we don't get into debates about the war and whether troops are supposed to be where they are or not supposed to be there, and whose opinion. We just focus on the needs of the children who are impacted by the fact that they're serving at that point.
Yeah. John, thank you very much. I want to give Tim and Milton a chance to join in. Tim, hello.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I'm a children's entertainer. I'm a magician and a balloon twister. And I appreciate the people who will serve our country a lot. And I would be interested in doing birthday parties for the children of our serving military people. But I have no idea how to go about doing that.
Hmm. Well, Sue, if not birthday parties, well, maybe birthday parties, but if not, how else could Tim be involved and use those talents?
Certainly, we would love to have you become involved in our weekend events that we do with kids. And we have a number of events in the various stages of deployment. And if you were interested in volunteering, we would be happy to build you into any of those events. And again, if you have access to the website, if you would just go to Wisconsin Operation Military Kids, That would take you to our contact information, and I could give you dates of things that we have on the calendar for the next 3 to 4, actually out to 6 months, for activities where we would be happy for entertainers or other types of people that would like to become involved in a way to support the kids.
Yeah, that's great, Tim. Thank you very much for calling. I appreciate your call. So go online. What is it again? Wisconsin Operation Military Kids, and that would be a way for you to get involved. And just to be specific, you got something coming up involving a couple of hundred children, and you know, here's one, maybe not Tim, but maybe somebody else would be interested in helping out. You said you still needed volunteers to assist and so forth.
And we actually, on the calendar, on an ongoing basis, and that's just one, but I think we have requests for at least 5 or 6. Mm-hmm. Steve is going to be involved in one in Green Bay first weekend in May, and different team members provide different leadership for the various events that we have. But certainly in any given area of the state, we could probably plug somebody in, so over the next course of a month.
What kind of volunteer, you know, if you're, let's say I want to volunteer for this, well, what kind of things might I be doing?
Well, one of the things is to work directly with the kids. We usually have a curriculum that we work through with the kids, and then there's activities, fun kinds of things we do with them, crafts and art kinds of projects and things. We might recruit you to help with lunch, serve the lunch and the snacks. Again, we might recruit you to help with letter writing, some of those kinds of things that with the kids. We also have a Speak Out for Military Kids program. I'm going to let Steve talk about that a little bit. In terms of the kinds of leadership we could use in terms of radio and TV and all kinds of ways that kids through Speak Out reach out.
The Speak Out for Military Kids program is one of the main components of the Operation Military Kids effort. And the Speak Out for Military Kids, it occurs in all the states. And here in Wisconsin, we're structuring it so that it's an opportunity for young people to get involved with something they may not normally have been involved in. They don't have to be children who come from military families. They can be 4-H youngsters. They can be kids from the Boys and Girls Club. They can be just kids in local schools who are looking for an opportunity. And what these young people, the Speak Out for Military Kids young people do, is they get together and learn about the stages of deployment, the impact that is occurring on their peers. And then when the opportunity is right, they go back to their communities and help out by raising the awareness, just as we've mentioned several times already. That might mean going and speaking in front of a local Rotary or Optimist Club, getting on a local radio talk show, having an interview with a local newspaper, for example, and then assisting with some of the events that may occur that Sue's mentioned. So those young people are trained and then go and work with these young people when the opportunity is right. And we just held our first orientation for the first group of Speak Out for Military Kids here in Wisconsin a week and a half ago up at UW-Stevens Point. So off to a good start there.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you both with us again today, and we'll have to get another update from you down the road here. I appreciate it very much. In the meantime, go online, take a look at Wisconsin Military Kids, and all of the information we've talked about is even in greater detail there, including all the events and things and how you might get involved in it. Sue, Steve, thank you both very much.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it very much. Sue Curtis, professor of 4-H Youth Development and Operation Military Kids Project Director. She's with the UW-Platteville and University of Wisconsin Extension. Steve Horvath from Wisconsin Rapids, assistant professor and the Wood County 4-H Development Agent. And as we've been talking about recently, returned from his own deployment to Iraq. Great things that they're doing. I appreciate having them with us, and we'll get an update down the road. Coming up, we're going to take a look at digital cameras. Do you have a digital camera? Do you know how to use it all? I've got three. We have 3 digital cameras, and I probably know about 10% of what I should know about how to use any of them. Jack Socha, our guest, coming up next here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.